How was your holiday? Oh, he sounds like he cares, doesn't he? How was your holiday? How was your Christmas? How was your Christmas? How was your Hanukkah? How was your Kwanzaa hut thing? And all the other things that fall on this time of year. How was that? Was it good for you? Did you have a lot of nice things? Huh? Did you help the economy out? This is the annual telethon. It's not Christmas. It's the annual economy telethon where we all contribute to the economy of the United States by buying multiple gifts for people that we don't even like. And when we give them the gifts, they just put them in a closet somewhere. They don't really care. It's a stupid gift. Why would they even bother spending any time with your gift? So all in all, it's just it's a telethon for the economy. Hanukkah, that's 8 days. 8 days, that's each day was a day that somebody lost their car keys way back, way, way back in Jerusalem, and they took them 8 days to find it. I think that's what the holiday is. I'm not sure. Kwanzaa? I have no fucking idea. Anyway, that's. I hope you had a nice holiday. And now we're embarking upon New Year's, which is the stupidest holiday of the year. Oh, we have a lot of stupid holidays. We have Valentine's Day. That's a stupid holiday. That's number two on the economy list of telethons, because there you have to buy flowers or candy or a card for somebody, or you will be electrocuted. You cannot survive. You'll be arrested, water torture, and it's a horrible, horrible thing if you don't get a gift for somebody on Valentine's Day. And it doesn't have to be for a husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend. No, you better buy something anyway. Otherwise, there'll be a knock at your door, and people in black suits will arrest you and say, excuse me, but you didn't buy anything. Don't be caught in the edible arrangements. That is not a replacement for a card. I'm sorry. Did you ever get the edible arrangements? You know what those things are? It's fruit on a stick, man. It's fruit on a freaking stick. It's basically saying, I love you, have some fruit, and by the way, be careful, otherwise you will skewer your head. It's a dangerous thing, the loveliness of the fruit, and the idea of puncturing the roof of your mouth or having extensive bleeding in your throat. Happy, happy Valentine's Day. And of course, candy. Have some candy. Are you a diabetic? Oh, pre-diabetes. Have some candy. Have some candy, sure. What a great holiday to become close to death. Fantastic. Yes, it's loaded with sugar, like 50 grams of sugar. Why don't you just pour sugar down your throat? This is the holiday that we create. This is the holiday that we create. We should have a National Smoking Day. Hey, do you smoke? Everybody smokes on National Smoking Day. Everybody buys cigarettes. But Ron, it'll kill you. But it'll help the economy. So, oh, you're right. Yeah, the economy wins. These are crazy times, man. It's crazy times. I love the simplicity of the holidays where you give one gift to somebody, and they give a gift to you. You go away, you go home, we're all done, we're finished. It's even difficult for it to be a religious holiday, this Christmas thing, because it's been established that Jesus was not born in the winter. Jesus was not born on December 25th. That's the day he went out and bought a tree. People get that confused. Jesus was born in the spring. I mean, God. Why would you want, if you had a choice of when to be born and your father was the deity, wouldn't you choose springtime? You know, why would you be born in a manger in the winter? What? Seriously? Come on. I kid, you know, it's a religious time of year and people take it very seriously. And I'm just making jokes, because if I didn't make jokes, you wouldn't listen to this. You hardly listen to it even if I don't make jokes. So I've got to be somewhat theatrical about this and a little controversial. And I'm supposed to be grumpy, but I'm really a sweetheart. Those people that know me know that I'm a real sweetheart. You know that, don't you? I know you know that. Thank you. Thank you for knowing that. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. So anyway, thank you. Oh, you don't have to do that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
You still there? Hello, you still there?
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Is that good? Did I do that right? Is that good?
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Welcome to the program. Later on the show, we'll speak to a very interesting guest that I have deemed interesting by virtue of this introduction. But right now, I have a very important question for you.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today?
I'm not talking about anything weird here, okay? It is the winter time in the Northeast, and for actually all the country, only it gets rather raw, snowy, and cold in the Northeast and the northern part of the country. It's freaking freezing out right now where I live in the Boston area. The temperature outside is frightful, and in here it ain't that delightful either. It's about 10 degrees outside. The high today will be about 20. And the rest of the week, some of the highs could be just in the teens. Now, I'm not talking about just the teenagers getting high. The highs will be in the teens, if you know what I mean. They're off from school this week. They're getting high. You know it. You know it. If you're a parent and you don't think your kid is getting high, you need to parent better. You don't know what's going on. But you're not supposed to know. I never let my parents know what I was doing when I was a kid, when I was a teenager. I never did that. You don't say to your parents, hey, guess what I did today? I got high and there was this girl I met. She was a virgin and I screwed her. How was your day? You don't do that. You don't do that. You don't do that to a virgin, by the way. That's just a lesson I wanted to throw in. Only with experienced people. Otherwise, it's too consequential. It's cold up here. Ron, where the hell are you going with this? You're going like in five directions. Ron, you're going in one direction where you're talking about teenagers not telling their parents about what they do. And then you're simultaneously, this is artful actually. You simultaneously are talking about something. You're talking about it being very, very cold outside and the temperatures outside. You're driving us nuts, but it's fascinating. Thank you very much. Thank you for that compliment that I gave myself. It is cold outside. Screw the thing with the teenage thing. It is cold outside though. And immediately, I had to bring the garbage out to the curb. That's my job. I'm not sexist. I'm not chauvinistic. And I'm sure most of the women that I deal with feel the same way. Yet it is my job to bring the garbage cans out to the curb once a week for my trash pickup or trash delivery, whatever the case may be. That's a man's job. Now, if a woman lives alone, she has no choice. She must do it, and begrudgingly. But this is something that no woman in her right mind chooses to do. And you know why that's not sexist? Because no man in his right mind chooses to do this either. Nobody wants to bring the trash cans out to the curb. Ron, you're blowing my mind. You're talking about teenagers not telling their parents everything that they do in the course of any given day. You're talking about how cold it is outside, and somehow we end up about these chauvinistic comments and sexist comments about who brings the garbage out to the curb. This is awful. This is creating chaos. Now, this is going to go somewhere, I guarantee you. I don't know when we're going to get there, but it's going to go somewhere. So I had to bring the trash cans out to the curb. Now, things have gotten worse over the past few years because I used to just have to bring out one trash can where all my trash was. It was the trash container. Easy, simple, dump all the trash in the thing, bring it out to the curb, run back in before your feet freeze off. But now it's been overcomplicated. Now there's two trash containers. There's the actual trash. That's the dog poo and the throw up and the eggshells, that kind of thing. And the other one is recyclable. Recyclables. The things that people, that our country uses to recycle and make new stuff. And we actually sell that trash to other companies, to other countries as well. Companies, countries, what's the difference? Freudian slip right there. Everything's almost recyclable now. Almost everything, paper plates, bottles, cans, people, everything can be recycled. So that bin's become quite larger. But there's two bins to deal with now to haul out to that curb. And It's a fascinating experience because I hate it on one hand, and on the other hand, I love it. So okay, fine. There's a certain satisfaction about getting the trash out of your house and having somebody come by and actually voluntarily pick it up. Well, voluntarily, I pay them to do it, but that's not a bad deal. It's a cleansing thing. It's almost like a colonoscopy in a way, because it's like sticking a tube up your ass and getting all your polyps cleaned out. That's how I feel about bringing the garbage out to the curb. Do you understand the analogy? Because if you don't, I'm not going to continue. Anyway, it was very, very cold outside. There's snow on the ground, which has turned to ice because it is so cold outside. It's a horrible, horrible time of year. But I remember a sweeter time in my life when I had no responsibilities. My father brought the trash out to the curb. I did not. I was too young. But my mother used to dress me up in this very odd snowsuit. And I don't know if you call it a snowsuit anymore. I'm not into this stuff. I don't know the lifestyle terminology anymore. I don't pay attention. I don't care. But it was called a snowsuit when I was a little kid. This was pre-teenager stuff. And my only responsibility was either to go out and play in the snow or to go to school. Those were the only reasons I would ever go outside. Why would I? Otherwise, it was cold out. My mother would put me in this suit where I could not move my arms. I literally could not move my arms. If I wanted to make a snowman, I would have to like really whip my body around in order to get my arms moving because that snowsuit was so thick. I don't know what it was made of. I think iron or something or some kind of material. All the new stuff hadn't been invented when I was a kid. This was just like heavy, heavy whatever this was. And there was a hood on it, and my mother would tie the hood over my head, like I was about to rob a bank or something. The hood was so thick that I couldn't turn my head. I didn't have to build a snowman. I was the snowman. If I stood there on the lawn, people would definitely think I was the snowman because I was just a stiff, fat thing standing on the lawn. There were also boots that came up to my ass pretty much. And no matter how high the boots went, snow still got them. There was no way that snow could not get inside the boot and my feet would freeze. The technology for snowsuits was not there when I was a kid. No one had really thought that out too much. So always snow got in the boot, and always the feet froze, no matter what. It just, you know, there was no point. But the most fascinating thing about the snowsuit were the gloves. But they didn't call them gloves. They called them mittens. And I don't know what the difference is between mittens and gloves, but I had mittens. I don't believe mittens has all the fingers. I think mittens is a compartment for your thumb, and then a larger compartment for the other four fingers that just have to get along in one compartment. That's just the way it has to be. And you can't pick anything up. You can't make a snowball. You can't move. You can't use your hands. There was no point to the snowsuit whatsoever, other than the fact that you would actually say, I'm standing outside. The snow gets in the boots. It was just totally inefficient, but adorable. The thing about the mittens, and I don't think they have this anymore, the mittens were attached to the sleeve of the snowsuit. There were little metal clips on some type of an elastic band, and you had to have the mittens attached to the sleeve. And the reason for this was that not only children, but adults would always misplace the mittens. How often do you say, oh my God, where's my left glove? I know I put my gloves in here, but there's only one glove in the pocket. Oh my God. It's like the car key thing. Well, to children, this happens even more so. So somebody somewhere invented the clip-on mitten, where they're always there. You just slide them on. They're dangling from your sleeve. How can you miss it? And I was all set to go. I would go outside and play in the snow, which was, again, stupid because I'd freeze within 2 minutes. Or I'd be going to school, and it would take me 3 hours to get there because I literally couldn't walk. You can't move your legs in these snowsuits. That's why I ask you what you're wearing, because I believe that we should bring back the snowsuit. I think we would be more civilized. I think if everybody wore a snowsuit when they went outside, there would be less crime. No one's going to rob a bank in a snowsuit. A ski mask, yes. A snowsuit, no. Are you still with me? Seriously?
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? Today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? Today?
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, the podcast world's version of Painful Itching and Swelling. You know they sell a cream for that, right? It's over the counter. Works really well. I've had to use it a lot.
We do this every single weekday, unless it's Christmas. Or New Year's. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe New Year's. I have no idea. Easter? No. Not Easter. I can't. The sacrilegious bunny thing just eats away at me. Thanksgiving? No, I'm too busy cooking and eating. Other than that, I'm here Monday through Friday. Listen to me on your way into work, on your way home from work, during work, even if you don't work, listen. Night before you go to bed, I swear I'll put you to sleep. No question about that. I can be used in so many ways, and I have been all through my life. Happily, though, happily. Yeah, this is free to you. Someday I'm going to charge for this, but for now, you know, what the hell? It's the holidays. You can hear me here on NewEnglandBroadcasting.com, NewEnglandTalkRadio.com, SoundCloud, the Podbean Network, iTunes, TuneIn Radio. You open up your toilet lid, you'll hear me there quite clearly, by the way. You can visit me on the International Web of Highways. There's nothing to see, but you can go to Facebook. New England Broadcasting, the Ron Van Dam Show. That's New England Broadcasting, the Ron Van Dam Show. There's absolutely nothing there to read or do, but whatever. You can find me on Twitter. I don't know how. I don't understand the whole damn thing. I'm on everything. I should be on everything. My doctor refuses to put me on everything, but I should be on everything. My doctor, by the way, is in India right now. I have a doctor who is an Indian, not American Indian, not the thing where they throw the trash on the side of the road and the Indian cries and all that, not that kind of Indian. She's from India, and apparently she's there. And when she gets back from India, I do have an appointment to see her, and I'm going to ask her, why did you decide to go to India? I know it's your homeland, but like, seriously? See, my impression of India is 20 million people crammed into a telemarketing room. That's my impression. I love my car. I haven't named it Brad or anything, but I do love my car. And I keep hearing about electric cars. I don't know anybody that has an electric car. What if you have an electric car and there's a power outage in your house? Where do you charge your car? I have trouble like charging my cell phone sometimes. I forget to charge my cell phone. I get up in the morning and I've only got like 1% on my cell phone. You think I'm going to remember to charge my car? You have to leave a giant post-it note on your bed. Remember to charge the car. Oh my God, I forgot. Can't come to work. A lot of the cars are half gas and half electric. That's too confusing. I don't know which half is which. Which half is electric, which is, I don't know. I guess you can switch back and forth. No. In some cases, it automatically switches. Like when you're running out of gas, it automatically switches to electric. What if you forgot to charge your car? Then you're screwed. I don't know. Flying cars, that'll never happen in my lifetime. Electric cars, probably. But I don't quite understand that. Until you can build an electric battery that lasts like 5 days, I wouldn't go in that direction. You know what I'm saying? You know, perfect your battery first. Why don't you come up with a battery that lasts more than 6 hours? How about that? Even you do that for a cell phone, and I think we're on our way to living life off of batteries. But until you do that, no, I stay away from your electric battery stuff because you haven't perfected that yet. Let's get into that, huh? So I'm fascinated by this. Rebecca Lindland is in the house. We're going to talk about electric cars with her. She's wonderful. Rebecca Lindland joins us now. She's executive analyst, Kelley Blue Books, KBB.com. And we're talking about electrified vehicles, the future of the automotive industry. Is this growing in popularity? It's like drips and drabs with the electric cars.
You know, it is, Ron. And one thing that we definitely have seen is an increase in the types of models that are available. For a long time, there was just really a couple. There was the Chevy Volt had come out and the Nissan Leaf, of course. Mm-hmm. And now we're seeing a lot of different versions, a lot of different manufacturers with some form of electrification. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that it's important that your listeners understand is that, you know, there's things like the pure EVs, which are the Teslas of the world, the Leaf and the Volt.
Right.
And then we've also got these hybrid versions, which has something like the Honda Clarity, where it's got a plug-in electric vehicle batteries, and then you've also got a gas motor to augment that, mm-hmm. where you've got a lot of range then.
Okay. Yeah, Honda's really coming up there. My God, they got some fast-track stuff going on.
They do.
Yeah, they do. When gas prices dropped like a year or two ago, did that hurt the onslaught of the electric cars? Because for a while it was the opposite, I think.
Well, yes. You know, it's interesting. Anytime that you look at the economics of what you're buying, and, you know, as Americans, we pay almost nothing in gasoline,
right,
really relative to the rest of the world.
Yes.
But you've got to look also beyond, you know, you're definitely going to save money when it comes to electric or electrified vehicles, something
mm-hmm.
like a plug-in hybrid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Honda Clarity, you can drive it for 47 miles on pure EV, so only using the battery.
Yes.
And that means that, you know, you can do a lot of your commute
yep.
and on pure EV, and you're not using gas at all.
Yeah.
You know, I have friends of mine that will go months and not go to the gas station. And
like
how
that.
Great is that?
That's really good. Yeah, we're supposed to be civilized society as well, and we're supposed to be, like, not using these fossil fuel deals. And I guess that kind of went by the wayside a little bit as well. And it seems like the car manufacturers are saying, no, we're forging ahead.
They are forging ahead. And, you know, this is not only in the U.S. are we seeing regulations tightening in terms of of how much pollution a car can emit. But we're, of course, also seeing it on a global basis as well. But, you know, when I think about when I lived in Boston and, and you know, in the surrounding area, really, if you're driving to a train station, any kind of suburban environment, these vehicles are really perfect for that. You can drive to the train station, take the train into the city, come back, drive back to your house, and if you want to, you can plug it in to recharge, but you've got 47 miles of range, you don't really need to. And that's what I really like about the combination of a plug-in hybrid with a gas engine.
You know, we're so used to charging our cell phones overnight that, like, charging your car overnight is kind of like a no-brainer now. Now it's not a big consideration like it was before.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So, all right. So what are Americans actually looking for? Are they looking for all electric? What are they looking for? What seems to be popular as far as the purchasers are concerned?
Well, you know, we're continuing to kind of see this where people really want a durable, reliable vehicle, and this technology, you know, really does that for them, because we've got, you know, they're very safe vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not using the engine all the time, there's a lot less wear and tear on the engine, which is great, you know. And as we start to see the technology spread throughout, it's going to become what we call the neighborhood effect, where you see your neighbor and you're like, hey, tell me about that, you know. And they become more familiar. They become more of an everyday kind of thing. And that's really what we're hoping for with vehicles like the Honda Clarity and this kind of technology from other manufacturers as well.
I understand there's some perks involved where there's parking spaces for electric cars, even for charging. In some areas, you can get tax credits, maybe federally someday. I don't know if they do that now. You can use the HOV lane here and there. I mean, I heard there's a lot of stuff.
There are. I mean, I know at, you know, at hotels, at Logan Airport, there's designated parking areas that are for EV only. And a lot of times they have a high-speed charger there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can charge your car while you're gone.
Yep.
You certainly have the $7,500 tax credit, which is still intact. And then also,
of course,
the HOV lane access as well.
Right. How do we get more information about this?
So there's a couple of websites that I really like, KBB.com for one. But then also fueleconomy.gov has a lot of both national and local information. And then, of course, all the manufacturers. Honda's website is fantastic to getting information on the different types of technologies that they offer.
Wonderful. Okay. Well, thanks so much. The day will come when everybody will have these cars. It'll come someday, hopefully.
It will. It's not that far away,
hopefully.
Ron.
Rebecca, have a wonderful holiday, and thank you so much for the information.
Thank you so much. Happy holidays.
Bye-bye. Wonderful, Rebecca. Nice woman, huh? Do you like her? She's a wonderful woman. Wonderful woman. I am very excited about something. Can you see this? Yeah. Starting tomorrow, all next week, we're going to be talking about a convention that is bigger than anything you've ever heard about before. It's going to happen in January. And I'm very proud of this. It is the first annual RonCon. Locations across the country will be announced. This is where fans of the program, and lovers of Ron Van Dam, all my prior lovers, will be in a convention hall. What you do is you go to this event, you dress just like I would. You have to have a beard and long hair and act goofy and grumpy. It's great. It's a great release. It's like role-playing. It's RonCon, where the admission price is very, very high. That's why we call it RonCon. Ron is going to con you out of your money and sell memorabilia to you that is totally worthless. It's the greatest con of all. Well, Trump's con is actually better than mine and more successful. But RonCon is taking place in January. We'll be talking about it all this week. And you'll be hearing commercials for it and promotions, and you can get the RonCon hat. Oh, there's just so much to it, and we'll tell you about it. It's RonCon. Are you excited about this, huh? Oh! Yes, it's going to be huge. But right now, I must leave you. This cannot go on forever for both of our benefits. So, ladies and gentlemen, you have been nothing short of short. And I will be again with you tomorrow. I will be with you again tomorrow. That was a little dyslexic. Even though I'm not dyslexic, I guess I'm starting to have this problem now. It's not a problem. It's just a reshuffling of thoughts. That's all it is. A reshuffling. Ladies and gentlemen, I wish you peace.